Hot summer nights cool down with Sleep Outfitters. Save $500 on Tempur-Breeze mattresses from Tempur-Pedic and get $25 off Tempur-Breeze pillows, sheets, and protectors. Deals like this don't come often and they definitely won't last. Shop Sleep Outfitters today.
Off the ball. Rugby.
There definitely seemed to be a bit of doom and gloom. You know, with all the stuff around the thing, it's like, well, Sexton's not making the next World Cup, so now we need to start planning without him. So the mind frames and stuff, I don't think it's completely unique the moment we're in. I just think we've a good way of forgetting.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
This week on Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors, how a Danish wonder kid nearly ended up at Liverpool, and how the team of the 80s could have won even more. Michael Ledger's proposed move to Merseyside could have altered the European football landscape, but why did the deal ultimately collapse? Find out on this week's Sliding Doors. Subscribe now in your OTB football podcast to not miss an episode. Coming to you for free each and every Monday.
The News Round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Great show coming up between now and then. We're going to kick things off from 7:30 with Brian O'Driscoll here in studio. So loads still to discuss in the aftermath of the Italy game. We've got Prendergast, we've got Crowley to talk about. The out half debate is raging. We've got fresh Johnny Sexton quotes from today on that matter. And England have named their team. Henry Pollock is going to start a test match for the very first time. So loads and loads to discuss with Brian from 7:30. In the 8 to 9 hour, we're going to have former Tyrone footballer Conor Myler in studio with us. Of course, he's an All-Ireland winner. He's an All-Star. He's got a fascinating story. He's battled through injuries throughout his entire life. And a lot of it is as a consequence of the anger and the frustration he felt as a young footballer trying to make it into the intercounty setup. So it's going to be a really, really good chat with Conor between 8 and 9. And then on the football show between 9 and 10, there's going to be a distinctly Scottish feel to it. Tom English is going to talk to us about the best league in the world, which seems to be the Scottish Premiership at the moment. It has usurped the League of Ireland temporarily as the greatest league in the world. So a three-horse race, a proper three-horse race there for the honours this year. So we'll get Tom English with us to bring us up to speed on what happened over the course of the weekend. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Cameron Hill is here wearing his France top. Hello, Cameron.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you want to lose the Grand Slam champions, so I'm on the France bandwagon for the rest of the Six Nations zone.
And it is a beautiful Adidas top as well, which doesn't do it any harm. Michael McCarthy is here as well, wearing his Aston Villa top. How are you, Mick?
Yes, I do. From time to time. How are you?
All good. You're fresh from Belfast last night?
I am, yeah. Twice in a week after going up for the roadshow and just like putting in my proposal there for a new off-the-ball Belfast office.
Yes.
Because I feel like I kind of want to move there at this stage. Beautiful city.
So you were,
I really haven't explored enough over the years.
You were there watching the talents of Andrew Trimble last week and you were watching the talents of Mike Skinner last night. Who's better?
Yeah.
Who's better on the mic?
Ooh, that's a tough question now. Yeah, Trimble's definitely funnier and more analytical.
Yeah, a little less serious
Mike Skinner, slightly better at the music, I would say.
Right. Yeah. The streets were on in Belfast last night?
Streets were on. It was the second night. They played here in the Olympia on Sunday night, which was the first of the brand new tour, which is the Grand Don't Come For Free performance of the album, and then an encore that's, to be honest, an hour.
All right,
and
okay.
Like the rest of their stuff. Brilliant. We couldn't get tickets for the Olympia, so we said we'll go up to the Telegraph building in Belfast, and it was, just class, to be honest. Right. Yeah. So that was where I was last night, Owen, while you were talking about the slightly improved performance of the Irish rugby team, but ultimately still kind of disappointing. And once again, and unsurprisingly, controversial.
Yeah. We'll come to that during the news round. I should say a happy Pancake Tuesday Shrove Tuesday to all out there. I presume there's plenty of people digging into their pancakes as they listen to us at 7:05 on a
Got a free
Tuesday
pancake
evening.
In Belfast this morning.
Did you really?
As part of my breakfast, yeah. Put down between us and said, there's a wee pancake for you for Pancake Tuesday. Enjoy. I thought it was one of the loveliest touches I can remember being in a restaurant. Yeah.
And what touch did you apply to the pancake?
To be honest, I'd kind of had my...
You didn't eat it.
We kind of split it in two and had a bit of like butter on it. I didn't really. It was
thanks, but no thanks for the pancake.
No, it was.
I like your gesture. Yeah. But
I didn't ask for this. Sends it back.
I thought the gesture was important. The pancake. I wasn't feeling the best this morning. I have to be honest.
Okay. The night is young. Still time for
not
for
the pancake. Greatest cure in the world. Stodgy pancake.
I feel like our job precludes us from properly getting into the Pancake Tuesday rhythm, given that we have to be on the radio between 7 and 10 p.m. I tend to call it not Pancake Tuesday nor Shove Tuesday. I call it Atherston Ball Game Day. That's what it's in my consciousness. Having attended the Atherston Ball Game 2 years ago, it's been imprinted in my brain, and I should probably speak to somebody about how I constantly have nightmares about my experience in this little town outside Birmingham those 2 years ago.
I remember you ringing me up the day before that and telling me about this. And saying we should, could we do something on the show? Could we make a slot? And I'm like, yeah, we'll make a few minutes for it. It sounds good. Thinking it was this sort of jovial, you know, I found this kind of cool tradition in the English countryside.
And
that is true.
And we're going to bring you this story. And I remember we had Kenny Cunningham in, as we used to get Kenny in regularly on Pancake Tuesday because it was his day, really. I mean, this is when you get Kenny food slot. Yeah, you know, just taking that step up a little bit, you know, just turn up the dial a bit on the Kenny food slot. Texas, somebody that year, I think did a text that they put tuna on their pancakes, which was one of Off the Ball's lowest moments, I would say, in its 20 odd year history, right?
But I don't hate it.
You came on, and I remember we only had like 5 minutes for it or something like that, and I would smoke for 20 minutes, and it very, very quickly became clear that this wasn't a funny, jovial slot at all. This was an awful, horrendous, you know, violent tradition that has transcended through the generations. And, you know, whether I'm being a little bit judgmental here, I would say, but yeah. I remember just thinking, this is a lot more gripping than I was expecting.
It's pretty barbaric. So it's this game that goes back to 1199 when Leicestershire and Warwickshire took each other on in this game. And what it is this big leather ball that gets kicked up and down the street called Long Street in Atherston. And the sole objective is to be the person in possession of that ball 2 hours later when the hooter goes and the game is over. But the way in which you hold onto the ball, it doesn't really have any parameters. There are no real rules. And like I discovered that there were two rules that are implemented. One is that you can't kick the ball off Long Street, that it has to stay on this main promenade. And then the other rule is that you're not allowed to kill anybody. But you can do whatever you want to another human being as long as you don't actually kill them. Mm. And
what happens if it later results in death?
I think it's okay given it doesn't happen in the moment.
Get excited.
Okay.
The
victory isn't voided.
No, it's not willingly.
Like testing positive after an Olympic.
Correct. Yes, exactly. Exactly. What obviously tends to occur is just all out brawls in the name of trying to get this big leather ball off one of your fellow village men or a man from a neighbouring pro-Brexit village, and competitors tend to kind of form teams and try and fend off their opponents by like punching them and kicking them, and it results in a big pylon, and you just have this situation where there's just like this steam rising like a scrum in Thomond Park in the middle of December off like a few dozen bodies, and at the end the hooter goes and a man comes away from the pylon with this big leather ball, and he is a hero in the English Midlands for the rest of the year.
What does he win other than that? Just the status?
What else do you need?
Is there a cash prize? I don't think there was a cash prize. Certainly local status is a big thing. It was a bit like, but these are very proud people, that they weren't overly happy with me coming along and filming it and asking for interviews after the game had concluded a couple of years ago. One of them called me an Irish, see you next Tuesday, and somebody else also used that same slur, but without the Irishness. But the funny thing about the person who used my Irishness against me, he was actually wearing a British and Irish Lions rugby jersey when he told me to go back to where I came from, which I thought was obviously hilarious.
And he calls it the British and Irish Lions, all right.
Oh, yeah. But I did take his advice and I got out of there very quickly when the scary man was telling me that I'm not a good person, I need to get out of there.
Yeah, you kind of talk like it sounds like, you know, grown men get involved in the thing, it's all a bit of fun, it's not too bad. Like, I do remember you talking to a man who was describing it, and his like little girl was there beside him.
Yeah, that was awful.
And she seemed genuinely horrified and kind of traumatized by the entire thing and really uncomfortable with the fact that this was happening. Mm. And it's like, you do have to remember that as well. Like, you know, it's Very weird thing, yeah. But we'll stick to pancakes in this part of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and the, whether you put tuna on them or not, like, I mean, you're equally as culpable as anybody at the Addison ball game, but at least you're not killing anybody.
Well, I did see, I think it was, there was some meme page earlier on, or somebody who put up a gallery of memes around pancakes earlier, and the point of one of the images was normalize savory pancakes.
Yeah.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I would be totally fine with a tuna.
And savory pancakes are great. But you don't want savory pancakes on Pancake Tuesday.
No. Can't you not have like a savory pancake and then a sweet pancake, like literally any other multi-course meal that you have ever had?
It should be like a breakfast one then with, like, you know,
bacon, not at 7 p.m. syrup.
No, but like, I just don't know. It feels like a bit outside of the spirit of Pancake Tuesday to be having like a posh crepe wrapped, like, you know, with
the spirit of Pancake Tuesday is to have pancakes. It doesn't matter what you do with it. That's the entire spirit. Unless you're eating, it's not like dessert day. It's not called Dessert Tuesday. It's called Pancake Tuesday. Once the base carb is there, you can do whatever you want with it. I bet the tuna person has stopped listening to Off the Ball years ago. You're welcome back to the fold. I will go to bat for tuna person who was suggesting this.
Is the point of it not like going back to Christian times when
Christian times?
Christian times.
Okay. So now that we're using eggs and flour.
We're in a Nietzsche era now. So, you'd use up all the kind of sweets in the house in order to get rid of them before Lent. That was the whole point of them. So they have to be sweet.
Okay.
Like, you know.
But it was an eggs and flour thing. I don't think people had sweets in the house back in, like, you know, the 1500s.
Okay, so Mick is saying it's in the spirit of Pancake Tuesday. Mick obviously sees it as a religious feast as your Lenten journey begins over the next 40 days.
The Feast of Saint Shrove.
I do think there's something kind of a bit kind of bourgeois about the savoury pancake on Pancake Tuesday. Have it, look, I mean, be bourgeois all you like the rest of the year.
I will. I'll do my very best to be as bourgeois as possible. Right, our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch with any of your pancake opinions. let's start with the Republic of Ireland women's team, because we had Carla Ward announcing a squad. She was speaking as well today, so give us what you've got there, Cameron.
Well, Carla Ward reveals that FAI Chief Executive David Carell will address the media soon in relation to the Men's Nations League. She was asked about the contentious games against Israel coming up later this year. The FAI, of course, have not spoken to the media since last week's draw was made in Brussels. Ward insisted that she would offer any support she can to her players on football and non-football issues.
Firstly, it's devastating for all involved, and it's one of those that my political views won't come into this. I think my job is the football side, and similarly to Haima. And it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because it's I believe David, if I'm right in thinking, will be talking to you guys fairly soon. So I think that's for them to answer rather than myself to get caught up in it. I'm big on open door policy. I'm big on an open line of communication with my players. I always have been, no matter what the subject is, and I will continue to do so. And I think that I always try and help the players in a way that if they, to make them feel as comfortable as possible, if they have a view and an opinion or they want to have a say, then they can, and I'll support that. But look, it's a very difficult situation for all.
Just on that squad itself, Megan Connolly is back in the 23-player squad for the World Cup qualifiers against France and the Netherlands next month. Lazio centre-back has been listed with the midfielders, having been absent through injury at the end of 2025. First-choice goalkeeper Courtney Brosnan also returns after injury.
The Champions League is back.
Yes, and the knockout phase get underway tonight with the first leg in the playoff round down for decision. Right now, it's Juventus 2, Galatasaray 2 in Turkey in the early kickoff tonight. The pick of the ties this evening is the meeting of Real Madrid and Benfica, who are managed by former Real boss Jose Mourinho. The Portuguese club qualified for the playoff round courtesy of a dramatic win over tonight's opponents last month. At the same time, you've Dortmund facing Atalanta and Monaco taking on last year's winners Paris Saint-Germain. All of those kickoffs are at 8 o'clock, all of those games, I should say.
Yeah, so Galatasaray Juventus has got this thing up and running pretty well. 3-2 to Galatasaray after 70 minutes there. This is kind of a strange phase, particularly given all bar one of the English teams have qualified for the next round. It's just Newcastle who are playing this week.
Yeah, it's kind of, it feels almost kind of like preliminary in both our interest and the actual round. I think once we get to the second leg, though, it is true knockout Champions League, and that's when we start to get excited. So from like next week on, but that, in fairness, the Galatasaray-Juventus game we had out in the office there has been absolutely brilliant. So we're kind of getting a little taste for it. I think the Benfica-Real Madrid match is so funny. Like, this is the sort of thing that might happen in the NFL a lot, where you'll play your division rival on like the last day of the last day of the regular season to beat them to qualify for the playoffs, and then you have to face the same team again because of the way the seedings work the following weekend. Usually, you don't do it twice in a row. It's kind of hard. It's hard to see Benfica pulling off another miracle.
A very important text in here.
Yes.
Do Findus crispy pancakes count? Johnny Hollywood from Limerick, living the dream here in Nantucket, Massachusetts, USA. My wife will have pancakes with a full Irish fry-up over here, and she's American. Listen, Johnny, your wife is a great person. If she's bringing savoury into the pancake game, she knows what she's
breakfast
doing.
Breakfast pancakes are different, though. If you're talking pancake in all forms, then breakfast pancakes aren't. Crepes are kind of more Pancake Tuesday, though, aren't they?
A little bit.
And what are you talking? What do you mean breakfast pancakes?
The distinction?
Like an American style pancake, like
the thick ones.
Yeah,
sponge.
But they're a very different thing than very different batter.
Will you? Can you actually clarify this, Johnny? To your radio Nantucket, are you talking about crepes or are you talking about thick American style breakfast pancakes? Because I'd like to be proven correct in this, that you might actually be having them with a crepe style pancake, which I think
would
finally prove me right. Let's move on to the rugby, because Johnny Sexton has has been out speaking today, Cameron.
Yes, and he's stressed the importance of giving all the out halves in the Irish system plenty of exposure before next year's World Cup. Jack Crowley, Sam Prendergast, and Harry Byrne are all in contention to start this weekend's huge Six Nations clash with England in Twickenham. Sexton believes a lack of versatility in selection has been Ireland's undoing in the past.
You know, it's important that not only those two, but, you know, Frawley and Harry Byrne as well, they keep developing and they get game time. So I suppose there's four guys, and I suppose all the criticism for previous cycles, World Cup cycles, was that we didn't develop guys, you know what I mean? And we didn't. We relied too heavily on one in some positions. So we're doing it a different way now, and whether that's right or wrong, you know, everyone judges it a lot of the time by the outcome. But I know that in you know, games to come, they're going to hit their best form, and they'll be in a good place.
I suppose there's a lot of talk coming into the Six Nations, like you say, that it's not so much a one versus one battle anymore with the 10, that it's a horses for courses. Is that how you see it and you treat it in training and leading up to games?
Well, they're all four of them are very good. They've all got their different strengths, and as coaches, I think they're trying to make sure that we have lots of options going to a World Cup, trying to learn from previous cycles and make sure that we give them all, we need to get them all a certain number of caps. We need to make sure that we, you know, see their form in different pressurised situations, different venues, different opposition, and I'm sure it'll be like that for the foreseeable. Yeah.
Did you see much of the online discourse after the Italy game, particularly around Sam?
Zero.
We've got loads of options thing. It's obviously what he genuinely believes, and it makes a lot of sense, but it is quite a handy narrative in the aftermath of what happened last weekend, that the coaching ticket can sit back and say, listen, we're giving all these guys loads of goals, we're still kind of figuring it out. I think deep down they would love to have sort of dominant number 10 who is clearly leading the way in that jersey.
I think so, but I also think that they have been trying to establish that, and I think they're being honest in what they're saying, but I think it's also clear to people when you look at it that they have decided, and maybe that's changed now, maybe that changes from next week on, but they decided last year that they wanted it to be Prendergast, because Crowley lost his place really for no reason to a player that has moments and has ups and downs and is a developing rugby player, but is not yet at international standard, it appears, and people can argue that, and that's fine. People know a lot more than me, but it seems as though this is somebody who is getting better or has lots of room to get better, and you would wonder why you can't do that at club level, and isn't that what it's for, rather than anointing him, for want of a better word. And if that hasn't worked out, I think they do have to take some responsibility for that. And I think when you see the vitriol, it's awful. And even the noise in the stadium, it wasn't great. Like on Saturday night, you don't want to see that, and it's not fair on him. But like, what, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, they have to say, like, there's been a mistake here, I think, you know? It's not that Sam Prendergast being involved is the problem, or him even playing from time to time. He played well against Australia when he came in, when he played in November. I just think that the idea that he is the de facto starter, and he is. It feels like when they've got a straight choice, they pick him over Crowley most of the time.
Oh yeah, when it's in so their hands,
just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just think that I think that's a bad decision. It just feels like it is anyway.
There's more in from,
you seem very distracted.
There's more in from Nantucket Man.
All right, okay.
Which I'll get to in a moment. There's also like a lot of texts coming through on the rugby this weekend. There seems to be a preoccupation with the kickoff time for this weekend. The Ireland versus England rugby match on Saturday is an early kickoff for some reason. Usually it's the 4:45 kickoff, but not this weekend. A few comments coming in about this. Jamie on YouTube as well, Ireland-England game shouldn't be the early kickoff on Saturday. It should be either of the other two slots.
Mm. Yeah, it mightn't be a bad idea to just get that game out of the way, to be honest.
Who's on after us?
Wales-Scotland at 4:40. That's the Ireland-England slot. That should be the Ireland-England slot.
Yeah. Wonder why that is.
Very bizarre.
Interesting.
It was played in the later slot 2 years ago at Twickenham, and it was a raucous atmosphere. So I'm not sure, did they get two rockets or something? I don't remember there being any problems.
Yeah, probably an ITV BBC thing, realistically. Mm. I'd say that probably has more to do with it, you know. And it's just what slots they have. I think, look, I'm sure Jerry will be upset about it, and he has strong opinions on these things. And at the same time, I think if you can't get an atmosphere for England, Ireland, the Six Nations at Twickenham, there's a problem. You know what I mean? It's fair enough you have to manufacture things elsewhere, but you shouldn't have to manufacture that game.
Can I make an impassioned plea ahead of just the rest of the tournament generally, especially the two home games that we have? And this is no disrespect to Barry Murphy, who's been on the show before, and I'm sure it's an incredible honour to receive this. But can we get rid of anthem singers just once and for all? Like the actual singer of the anthem, soloist for Ireland's call on Ireland.
Why is that? What's
it's a total atmosphere killer, like straight away. It's so bad.
But you have to play the anthem.
You play the anthem, but you let everyone else, like the other 80,000 people or whatever, sing it and kind of, you know, drive that themselves.
So you're not singing together with Barry Murphy, no?
Yeah.
But I just think, like, the singer generally picks a key that suits them and it doesn't necessarily suit everyone else in the stadium.
It is,
and
like, Aaron Levine has, I don't think, is a great anthem, objectively, compared to, like, almost every, the English one is objectively the worst, right? And then all the other ones in the Six Nations are amazing. And the Irish ones are kind of crap as well, right? But if you're going to do a Ron Levine, if it's going to make the most of it, it's a marching band song. It's a soldier song. It's like it's the Artane band walking around Crow Park. That's what the song is designed to do. So, it is not an operatic, solo singing job. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah, like France and Scotland, their band just go, all right, lads, you've got it from here on. We'll just cut out halfway through. You guys can take the lead. Like that's how good they are. Whereas we need a singer.
So Barry Murphy marching out in front of the Artane band with a stick in his hand doing the twirls.
Yeah, and then he can sing Ireland's Call if he wants. Just a bat on for.
I think Barry Murphy is the perfect solution to this. I think Ireland have actually stuck with Barry Murphy because they've struck something that actually works. They've got somebody who just does a really good job of singing the anthems, no frills about it, no change of pace. It's the perfect pacing. And if the atmosphere is dead because the singer is the problem, then I don't know. I disagree. Can I do the pancake text before we go to the ads? Sorry if I'm getting in the way of other important sports news, but
we're out with the cricket, basically. Yeah. That's all we have left, isn't it?
Rain.
Yeah. We've got information from Nantucket, and we've got information from other areas of the globe as well. So we'll start with Owen, who's not from Nantucket. He says, Lyle's golden syrup from the metal tin is the best filling for a pancake or crepe.
Incorrect.
Having that golden goodness wrapped in crispy cakes is as good as it gets. Life will never be better. And from...
His name Owen Lyle, by any chance.
From our... from our friend in Nantucket, I've actually been vindicated by a Nantucket man. Regular pancakes with maple syrup, he says, sweet. I can't understand how you can have a sweet pancake on a plate with a full-on fry-up.
No, absolutely. Who said a sweet pancake with a fry-up? I think he's misunderstood there.
I back you. I like the pancake game in Nantucket. All in the Game as well has been in touch on YouTube to say, why did England name their team so early? It's a very good question. Maybe they just don't respect Ireland. Maybe Henry Pollock's being thrown out for his first test start because they think it's an easy way to wait into test life.
You name your team first, don't you? Yeah. So you're out there, Ireland are immediately, instead of being proactive, they're being reactive.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have more on this with Brian O'Driscoll after the break. We've got all that England team news to get into with him as the show develops. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for popping in tonight. Michael McCarthy, we'll chat to you a little later on.
Off the ball, rugby.
There definitely seemed to be a bit of doom and gloom. You know, with all the stuff around the things like, well, Sexton's not making the next World Cup, so now we need to start planning without him. So the mind frames and stuff, I don't think it's completely unique the moment we're in. I just think we've a good way of forgetting.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.